Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Welcome back to Path of a Green Witch podcast. In this episode, I want to share something a little different. I'm sharing something that I believe fundamentally changes our understanding of why the Great Pyramid of Giza was built and who built it. I'm going to play a podcast episode I generated on Notebook LM about a theory I developed this year. Around the summer of 2025, I connected the Great Pyramid at Giza to the Lachamp geomagnetic excursion that happened about 42,000 years ago. I need to start by explaining why most people have never heard of the Lachamp event. The Lachamp geomagnetic excursion is one of the most significant catastrophic events in recent human history. There is another significant event that happened about 12,800 years ago, but we'll talk about that another time. About 42,000 years ago, Earth's magnetic field weakened dramatically. The magnetic field basically collapsed to less than 5% of its current strength, and the magnetic poles actually reversed temporarily. This was a crisis that lasted roughly 1,000 years, and during this time, our planet's protective shield against cosmic radiation essentially failed. The atmosphere was bombarded with solar particles and cosmic rays at levels that would have absolutely impacted life on Earth. Here's what that would have looked like on the ground. There would have been beautiful auroras. You know the northern lights that we normally only see near the poles? Those gorgeous lights would have been visible at the equator. Imagine skies over Egypt, Mesoamerica, and Southeast Asia filled with shimmering curtains of red, green, and violet light, night after night. But it wouldn't have just been beautiful. There would also have been a really high number of lightning storms. These storms would have intensified dramatically because of the electrical instability in the atmosphere. And you might be wondering, what about the radiation? Yeah, radiation would definitely have been higher too. It would have caused mutations and sickness. Populations of humans would have needed to seek shelter in ways that would have reshaped entire societies. But keep in mind that I said it would have caused DNA mutations, because that is actually significant for another one of my theories. I believe the genetic mutations led to the skin color diversity that we have now. I first learned about the Lachamp geomagnetic excursion through social media earlier this year, and I was stunned. How is this not common knowledge? How are we not taught that 42,000 years ago, our ancestors survived a planetary electromagnetic crisis? Well, it's probably because most people didn't start learning about this until 2012. I graduated high school in 1999, so that explains it for me. So I started using AI, specifically Claude and a few other language models, to help me understand the physics, the geological evidence, the atmospheric chemistry, and the archaeological timeline. I asked so many questions about piezoelectricity, about granite's conductive properties, about electromagnetic field generation, and about how ancient people might have understood and responded to these forces. And then it clicked. The Great Pyramid at Giza isn't just the most precisely constructed building in the ancient world. It is that, but it's also a response to the Lachamp event. The builders chose granite for what we naively call the King's Chamber because granite contains quartz crystals that generate electrical charges when they are subjected to pressure. That's called piezoelectricity. Can you believe it? If you apply pressure to certain types of stone, you get electricity. They chose limestone for the outer casing of the Great Pyramid because limestone is slightly conductive and it would have interacted with electromagnetic fields in specific ways. The internal shafts, the Grand Gallery, and the subterranean chamber aren't decorative or symbolic. Those are components of a system that was designed to interact with Earth's electromagnetic field. And here's where it gets really specific. Egyptian symbols that Egyptologists have interpreted as purely religious or decorative are actually schematic representations of this technology. I'm thinking about the Ankh, the Djed pillar, and the Waz scepter. When you understand them as components of an electromagnetic system rather than just spiritual symbols, their shapes and their consistent positioning in hieroglyphs start to make sense in a completely different way. I'm going to be breaking this down in future content. Now, let's talk about the timeline because this is crucial. The Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, according to mainstream Egyptology, were built around 4,500 years ago by 4th Dynasty Egyptians. But the Sphinx sits right there on the same plateau as the Great Pyramid, and the Sphinx shows water erosion patterns. Geologists like Robert Schoch have argued that the water erosion could only have been caused by rainfall, and that area of Africa stopped receiving enough rainfall to cause erosion like that around 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. So I'm proposing a much earlier date for the carving of the Sphinx and the building of the Great Pyramid. The Sphinx was carved approximately 38,000 years ago, which is two full Leo ages ago. The precession of the equinoxes means that Leo rises on the spring equinox roughly every 26,000 years. The Sphinx was originally carved with the head of a female lion. The people who carved that Sphinx as a female lion were lioness worshippers, and they were living in the aftermath of the Lachamp event. They carved the Sphinx facing east toward the rising sun, marking the age of Leo. These were people who witnessed the sky on fire with auroras, lightning storms that wouldn't stop, radiation that was killing crops and people. They understood that Earth's electromagnetic field had nearly collapsed, and they built the pyramid as a technology to harness the energy. The precision of the Great Pyramid's construction includes the precise alignment to true north within 3/60ths of a single degree, and stones fitted so tightly you can't slip a piece of paper between them. This was a highly advanced group of people. They built that structure so well it lasted 40,000 years. And we know it can last that long. Engineers today have confirmed that the Great Pyramid's construction is so sound, so stable, that it could stand for another 40,000 years without significant decay. That's not an accident. That's intentional design by people who were thinking in deep time, who understood cycles we've forgotten. Here's another piece that connects. When you look at petroglyphs from around the world, like from the American Southwest, from Australia, or from Scandinavia, you see repeated shapes, spirals, concentric circles, branching patterns that look like lightning or tree roots, stick figures with radiating lines around their heads. Mainstream archaeology calls these drawings shamanic visions or spiritual symbols. But when you understand that the Lachamp event would have filled the skies with plasma phenomena that look just like those drawings, you finally understand why they drew those strange images. Our ancestors were witnessing something profound. There were auroras that would have created spiral shapes, Birkeland currents that would have looked like twisting serpents of light, and lightning that would have branched in those exact patterns. Suddenly, those petroglyphs look like eyewitness documentation, don't they? People around the world were drawing what they saw in the sky. So that's the foundation of this theory. The Lachaumpe geomagnetic excursion created a global phenomenon 42,000 years ago. Cultures who witnessed that event include the lioness worshippers who carved the Sphinx 38,000 years ago. The Great Pyramid, with its unique construction, its specific choice of materials, and its electromagnetic properties, is the culmination of knowledge from a highly advanced group of dark-skinned Black Africans. And before we dive into the podcast, I have to talk about Tesla, because Nikola Tesla was absolutely right, and he just didn't have all the pieces. Tesla spent years obsessed with wireless energy transmission and the idea that the Earth itself could be used as a conductor. He built Wardenclyffe Tower with the vision of transmitting electrical power through the ground and the atmosphere without wires, using the Earth's own electromagnetic properties. The scientific establishment called him crazy. They said it was impossible, impractical, a waste of resources. His funding dried up, his tower was demolished, and his ideas about Earth's electromagnetic potential were largely dismissed as the fantasies of a brilliant but erratic mind. But here's what Tesla understood that most people still don't. The Earth is not just a passive rock floating in space. It's an active electromagnetic system. It has a magnetic field. It has conductivity. It has resonant frequencies, the Schumann resonances that pulse at approximately 7.83 hertz, which Tesla measured and tried to harness. He knew that if you could tap into Earth's natural electrical properties, you could theoretically generate and transmit power on a planetary scale. He just didn't know why this knowledge might have mattered to ancient people. He didn't know about the Lachaumpe excursion. Tesla didn't have access to the ice core data that proved Earth's magnetic field collapsed 42,000 years ago. He didn't know about the radiation spikes, the atmospheric chaos, the auroras at the equator. He didn't know that ancient builders might have constructed the Great Pyramid specifically to interact with Earth's electromagnetic field during a time when that field was failing, and people were desperate to understand it, measure it, maybe even stabilize it or protect themselves from its collapse. If Tesla had known about the Lachaumpe event, if he'd understood that there was a historical precedent for Earth's electromagnetic field becoming destabilized, and that ancient civilizations had survived it and possibly built technology in response to it, everything he was trying to do would have made even more sense. He would have realized he wasn't inventing something new. He was remembering something humanity once knew. He was working from the same principle that the pyramid builders understood, that granite under pressure generates electricity, that the Earth's telluric currents can be harnessed, that geometry and materials and placement matter when you're working with electromagnetic fields. Tesla was reverse engineering ancient technology without even realizing it. And the tragedy is that he died without knowing that the Great Pyramid, this structure he might have seen as just an ancient monument, was potentially the greatest proof of concept for everything he was trying to achieve. Our brilliant ancestor knew the Earth was alive with energy, and he spent his life trying to give that knowledge back to humanity. He deserves to be honored in this conversation, because what I'm proposing isn't just about Egypt. It's about recognizing that Tesla was reaching back towards something we lost. And now, finally, we might understand what that something was. What you're about to hear is a Notebook LM-generated podcast where two voices walk through the experimental proposal I've written to test this theory. They'll explain the science behind piezoelectricity and electromagnetic field generation, the specific properties of the granite and limestone used in the pyramid, and how we could actually measure whether the pyramid used to function as an electromagnetic device. They'll discuss the placement of the chambers, the purpose of the shafts, and why the pyramid's geometry matters for these electromagnetic properties. It gets detailed, it gets technical, but stay with it, because this is about recovering knowledge that's been hidden in plain sight for thousands of years. Let's begin.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. For centuries, the Great Pyramid of Giza has just stood there as this ultimate historical paradox. It's too precise, it's too massive, and honestly, too mysteriously built to fit neatly into our history books as just a pharaoh's tomb.
It really is the ultimate riddle. I mean, why the perfect alignment? Why the strange astronomical angles and these inexplicable material choices?
Right.
The conventional explanations, you know, that it was just a burial site.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like we're trying to fit a square peg into a perfectly machined crystalline hole.
That's why today we're setting aside the shovels and picking up the oscilloscopes. We are diving into a really radical, multi-million dollar experimental proposal. The hypothesis is that the Great Pyramid wasn't merely a monument, but a highly sophisticated electromagnetic device.
And not just any device. One specifically designed to function during a period of, well, catastrophic global environmental collapse. We're talking roughly 42,000 years ago.
So our mission today is to really unpack the physics.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
It's behind that claim. If the pyramid's function eludes us today, this theory suggests it's because the Earth's magnetic and atmospheric conditions are just. They're too tame now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are tracing the plan to simulate an ancient planetary catastrophe in a lab, all to find out if this impossible structure was, in fact, an impossible machine.
So let's start with the why. Let's talk about the anomalies that just break traditional archaeology. If you look at the King's Chamber, They didn't use the easily accessible local limestone for the interior?
No, not at all. They hauled Aswan granite over 800 kilometers up the Nile.
Which is a massive effort. So why? Why that specific stone?
Because it's not just structural. That granite is chemically unique. It's incredibly rich in quartz. We're talking about 30% quartz by volume.
30%. And quartz is the key ingredient here.
It is.
Which means it's strongly piezoelectric. It generates an electrical charge when you subject it to mechanical stress or, you know, vibration, intense pressure. But here's my fundamental skepticism. Are we suggesting that people thousands of years ago understood crystallography?
Mm-hmm.
That they knew this granite had some special electrical property?
I don't think it's formal science as we'd define it, but an empirical understanding.
Okay.
Absolutely. The builders clearly prized materials for properties that went beyond just simple strength.
Okay.
If they only needed a strong chamber, like you said, local limestone would have been fine. The fact that they chose this specific quartz-rich granite for the core suggests they needed a dynamic electrical response. They needed the chamber to.
And the engineering itself, it just backs up this functional argument, doesn't it? We're talking about dimensional precision that holds within millimeters across the entire structure.
It's mind-boggling.
And the alignment to true north is, it's astonishingly precise. It's off by less than 3/60 of a single degree.
Right. That's not for show.
Huh.
That level of accuracy usually points to a mechanism that needs to be perfectly tuned.
A machine.
It does. I mean, think of the internal architecture as components. You have the famous air shafts that don't actually reach the exterior, which rules them out as ventilation.
Right.
You have resonant chamber acoustics. The King's Chamber has these very specific sonic properties. And the angles, the specific angles they used, the 51.5 degree slope, the precise 45 degree and 39.5 degree shaft angles, they look less like architecture and more like tuning parameters for a physical system.
We also have those sort of hazy ancient accounts, right? Mm-hmm. Describing the pyramid producing light or having energetic properties. These anomalies have pushed researchers toward power plant theories for a long time.
They have. But the sticking point has always been proving that function in our modern kind of inert environment.
And that's the context we need to accept. If the function isn't obvious now, maybe the structure is just waiting, waiting for the specific environmental conditions it was built for. So if the pyramid wasn't built for our world, what kind of extreme environmental conditions was it optimized for? This is where we zoom out past dynastic Egypt and travel back into deep paleophysics.
Right. We're talking about the Lashamp geomagnetic excursion. It occurred roughly 42,200 to 41,500 years ago. This was a brief and probably terrifying geological moment when the Earth's magnetic field, or shield, it essentially collapsed.
It didn't flip poles, it just vanished.
It dropped to between 0 and 6% of its current strength. Almost nothing.
A magnetic field collapse. That sounds like a planetary disaster movie. What were the immediate measurable effects?
Catastrophe. Pure and simple. The loss of the magnetosphere shield led to this massive, measurable surge in cosmic radiation hitting our planet.
And we know this for sure.
We know this precisely thanks to paleo data. Specifically, beryllium-10 isotopes preserved in ice cores and sediments.
Why does beryllium-10 serve as the smoking gun for this cosmic onslaught?
Well, beryllium-10 is created when high-energy cosmic rays, which are normally deflected by our magnetic field, they smash into nitrogen and oxygen atoms in the upper atmosphere.
So it's a direct fingerprint of cosmic rays.
It's a perfect, undeniable marker for how many cosmic rays were hitting Earth at any given time. And 42,000 years ago, that signal spiked dramatically. It confirms a doubling of cosmic ray flux.
Okay, so more cosmic rays, that means more ionization in the atmosphere. And that means atmospheric electricity goes nuts. This is where it gets really interesting for the pyramid theory.
Absolutely. The ozone layer was severely depleted, and critically, atmospheric ionization just shot up. It increased ionospheric conductivity, so how easily electricity flows in the atmosphere, by 10 to 100 times the normal rate.
Wow. 10 to 100 times. And that supercharged atmosphere affects the electric field right down at ground level where the pyramid sits.
By orders of magnitude, yes.
Yep.
The atmospheric electric fields, which normally hover around, 100, 200 volts per meter?
Yeah.
They're calculated to have amplified up to 1,000 volts per meter at the surface.
1,000.
Yeah. You would have had spectacular, continuous auroral displays visible worldwide.
All right.
Including over the construction site in Egypt. The air itself was electrically hypercharged.
So the dots connect here. You have an atmosphere that's supercharged with electricity, and you have the pyramid built with 30% quartz granite under immense pressure.
Exactly. In such an amplified electromagnetic environment, natural piezoelectric materials like that Aswan granite would respond powerfully. The structure, which relies on generating charge through stress or vibration, would suddenly be soaking up charge from the highly amplified ambient electrical fields. It was optimized for that specific extreme paleoclimate.
Okay, so what does this all mean then? The core hypothesis is actually pretty elegant. The pyramid's apparent lack of function today is simply the result of the world's magnetic field and atmosphere returning to normal. It's a device waiting for the right input.
Right, but a hypothesis like that, it demands incredibly rigorous proof, which is why the proposal breaks it down into three specific testable predictions. The first prediction demands an undeniable result. Piezoelectric enhancement. They have to show that Aswan granite produces 10 to 100 times greater electrical output under simulated Lashamp conditions compared to normal conditions.
That 10 to 100 times increase is a massive scientific hurdle.
Yeah.
Why set the threshold so high? I mean, if it performs 5 times better, isn't that still a huge discovery?
It would be, but if the enhancement factor is low, say 2 or 5 times, that could potentially be explained by, you know, minor variations in geology or localized stress. The 10 to 100 times factor is required to definitively link the design to the catastrophic environment.
I see.
It has to be shown that the material was specifically optimized for conditions far beyond anything modern. It proves function, not just coincidence.
That makes the test much more difficult, but also much more conclusive if it works. Okay, next up is the idea of material synergy. The builders didn't just pick one stone. They put the granite box inside an insulating limestone structure.
Yes, and the specific arrangement matters hugely. The second prediction states that the combination of the piezoelectric granite and the insulating limestone, particularly in a layered sandwich configuration like the chamber walls, will show unique, synergistic electrical properties.
So it's like a component.
It should act like a tuned electrical component, like a capacitor or a specific resonant circuit that functions optimally only under those enhanced Le-Champ field conditions.
So they were arranging a circuit board 800 feet up in the air. The placement of every stone matters.
Precisely. And the third prediction addresses the specific form, geometry and shaft functionality. The specific architectural dimensions, the 51.5 degree slope, the proportions of the chambers, and those precise shaft inclinations of 45 and 39.5 degrees, they have to be shown to concentrate or channel or amplify the electrical phenomena more effectively than any other geometry.
They have to prove that the design itself is a functional element.
Optimized for resonance, 42,000 years ago.
This research, it requires a serious commitment. A multi-year, multi-million dollar program, estimated at what, between 1.8 and 2.5 million to run the complete 7-year plan.
It is. They are literally building an experimental facility to recreate an ancient catastrophe. The proposal is brilliantly systematic, though. It moves from basic material testing to a colossal full-scale replica. Phase one is the crucial feasibility check. Material characterization.
So what are the specific dials they're turning inside this initial chamber to recreate 42,000 years ago?
They use a specialized 2-meter cube. It's a highly shielded Faraday cage, which lets them recreate the specific electromagnetic conditions. They drop the magnetic field to just 5 microteslas, that's simulating the tiny remnant field of the Le-Champ event.
Okay.
They also generate an ion concentration 100 times normal and apply an atmospheric electric field of 1,000 volts per meter.
That is a highly controlled little slice of the past. And what are they doing to the granite samples inside that chamber?
Authentic, large, 5-kilogram blocks of Aswan granite are subjected to controlled mechanical stress, up to 50 megapascals.
Let's put that number into context for you. What is 50 megapascals?
That's simulating the relentless, crushing, sustained weight of the massive superstructure of the pyramid bearing down on the granite core of the king's chamber. It's massive pressure.
And they want to see if the combination of that extreme pressure and the amplified external field triggers that 10 to 100 times electrical output.
They have to. They must prove that the granite fundamentally reacts to the ancient environment.
Okay, so if phase one proves the granite acts like a super battery under those ancient conditions, phase two scales up to test the blueprint itself, geometric effects and interaction.
Correct. They move from the raw material to precise scaled architectural models. For example, a 1/50th scale replica of the king's chamber and scaled air shafts at the exact 45 and 39.5 degree angles.
They're testing the structural logic.
Yes. They use advanced 3D electric field mapping systems to measure field concentration and resonance inside these models. They specifically test if the pyramid's geometry creates maximal field concentration only under the Le-Champ simulation.
So it has to perform demonstrably better than, say, just a simple box made of the same materials.
Exactly. This confirms the intentionality of the design.
And if both the material and the scale geometry work, that leads to the definitive colossal phase three full-scale chamber replication. This is the definitive test of the entire hypothesis.
This is the life-size experiment and the climax of the whole proposal. They plan to build a full-scale replica of the king's chamber over 10 meters long, using over 100 tons of actual Aswan granite, dry-fitted with precision.
And this chamber has to be housed within a massive environmental facility, right? One capable of generating industrial-scale electromagnetic fields. We're talking about generating up to 20 kilovolts of total voltage across the chamber space.
They are. They are recreating that ancient electric tension on a grand scale. The protocols here are the most dramatic. They plan for rigorous, long-duration exposure, maintaining full Le-Champ conditions continuously for up to 4 weeks.
4 weeks. And what's the ultimate proof of function they're looking for? What do they hope to see?
They are monitoring for three things. One, cumulative electrical charge buildup over days. Two, specific audible resonance. They expect a persistent low-frequency humming or vibration. And crucially, three, visible electrical discharges or corona effects generated within the chamber, particularly around the corners or the shaft entrances.
So if they can flip the switch and the granite box starts humming and discharging electricity,
then the hypothesis is confirmed.
This final phase also includes that fascinating optional protocol to test biological effects.
Yes. acknowledging those ancient theories that the chamber had effects on consciousness or healing. If the environment is proven to be demonstrably energetic, they might test sane proxies or even limited human subjects to monitor biometric responses to the field.
But the primary goal remains the physical proof.
The physical proof of charge generation and amplification within the structure, yes.
Okay, we've walked through the engineering paradox, the ancient catastrophe, and the plan to build a functioning replica of the Great Pyramid. So what does this entire proposal mean for us, even before Phase 3 is completed?
Well, the research is designed to be highly valuable regardless of the outcome. Even if the hypothesis fails, if the granite doesn't show a 10x boost, we will have produced the first systematic controlled data on how piezoelectric materials behave under these extreme conditions. That advances material science and experimental archaeology significantly.
But if the hypothesis is supported, if they flip the switch on that life-size granite chamber under simulated 42,000-year-old conditions and the thing starts humming and discharging electricity,
the implications are enormous. It would suggest highly advanced technological capabilities in deep prehistory. It would force us to completely revise our chronologies of technological development.
We'd have to acknowledge a sophisticated ancient culture capable of engineering complex systems optimized for specific planetary dynamics.
And it could also inspire new approaches to energy harvesting today, perhaps atmospheric electricity collection, using these ancient principles of resonance and material synergy.
This is really the ultimate example of modern science applying its most cutting-edge tools to confront the most persistent mysteries of deep history.
And this raises a really important question for you to think about. If this rigorous methodology successfully demonstrates a functional electromagnetic purpose for the Great Pyramid, what does this imply about other large megalithic structures worldwide? Structures that also exhibit extreme precision and inexplicable material choices.
You mean Stonehenge or those precision-cut Andean sites or even Göbekli Tepe?
Exactly. Could this open up a global research program for reevaluating megalithic architecture worldwide, suggesting they were all part of a forgotten technological network tuned to a planetary environment that no longer exists?
That thought alone is enough to change your perspective on ancient history forever. We'll leave you to mull over that possibility. Until next time, keep seeking those deep dives.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.